Detention. Noun. The maintenance of a person in custody or confinement, especially while awaiting a court decision. Suspended. Verb, used with an object. To debar, usually for a limited time, from the exercise of an office or a function or the enjoyment of a privilege, i.e., a student was suspended from school. Expelled, verb, used with an object. To cut off from membership or relation. To expel a student from college. Probation, noun. A trial period or condition of students in certain academic institutions who are being permitted to redeem failures, misconducts, etc. So Matthew 1 says, verse 17, so all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. And from David to the exile to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the exile to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. And so we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lowly exile. Since Israel had rebelled, they'd worshipped idols, they'd committed sexual morality, and it's sanctioned as a people injustice. And maybe most troubling at all, they had failed to repent. Even in the midst of all their religious activity, they had failed to repent. Therefore, God exiled them. He detained them. Suspended them, expelled them, put them on probation. So this cost them. It cost them their political freedom. They were no longer rulers. They were no longer insiders. They were no longer wealthy. Instead, they were outsiders, poor and oppressed. They lost their religious freedom and their religious power. Their rulers now, both political and religious, were corrupt and untrustworthy. So, there was many different responses to this problem of exile. There was many different responses to this problem of sin. For some, the response was, well, as a nation, we've been exiled. Therefore, the response is violent nationalism. We will take our nation back. For others, it was compromise. Pagan nations rule over us. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Still others, they hid themselves from society to maintain their religious purity, while others sought with all their might to live righteously while they awaited God's response. Praise God, God did respond, but not with violence, not with compromise, not with hiding. He responded by giving his son. God was born in human flesh. What do we call that? Ooh, incarnation, right? God with us, Emmanuel, as noted last week by Mrs. Reynolds. To address the very real-life problem of exile, of detention, suspension, expulsion, probation, and ultimately the problem of sin, right here in space and time. So Matthew 1 says, now, the birth of Jesus took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her womb is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you will call him Jesus, meaning God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Isaiah 9. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Saints, Jesus' birth matters. Because it means that our lives right now matter. As did the lives of the ancient Israelites. Our sin now matters. Our experience of exile, our experiences of temptation to compromise, to violence, to nationalism, to hide, and to trust in our own righteousness matters. Jesus came not only to die and rise again, and hear me, that's critical. He came to show us that life right now, in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our stress, in the midst of our corruption, the exile that we all experience as sinners, matters. Jesus came, the Messiah in the manger, to redeem us right here, right now. Not in some far-off heaven. He came to bring heaven to earth. God born as a human, not as some arbitrary prologue to his death and resurrection that then gives us like the secret knowledge that allows us access to heaven. No, no, no. God's birth as a human being, the incarnation, Emmanuel, inaugurates the gospel, the good news, which is the kingdom of God. Matthew's gospel most clearly portrays Jesus as the true Israelite. We know in the Old Testament the kingdom of God being one and the same with the kingdom of Israel. But remember, God created man to rule over his earth, right? To be vassal kings, if you remember back to ninth grade. To be vassal kings, to be his sort of representative to all of creation. We were to put the glory of God on display, but we failed. We rebelled. We've sinned. So God called Israel to be his image bearer in the midst of a broken and fallen world, but they failed. So God narrowed the focus even more. Kings of Israel, you be my image bearers. You put my glory on display, but they failed. So Adam, Abraham, Israel, David failed. Oh come, Emmanuel. Jesus came. To be that true image bearer, to be that true Israel, his coming, praise God, does not then exclude us from the story of salvation, does not remove from us our responsibilities to be God's image bearer. No, just the opposite. Jesus, the Word made flesh, was born to us and empowers us to become God's image bearers as we were created to be. As human beings, made in God's image, we're constantly tempted to become God's rival instead of his reflector, to set up an image of ourselves as Lord instead of serving the Lord as his image bearer. Even worse, we set up various things as lords over us, our sports, our music, our technology, our freedom, our relationships, our academics, our attractiveness, if not literal other gods. So Jesus invites us into his kingdom this way. Matthew 4, again, picking up Isaiah 9. Matthew 4, verse 13. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus is an adult now, he went to Capernaum to live by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. A people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and in the shadow of death, a light dawned on them. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus' first commandment to us. His first words to us are repent. When we come to the Messiah in the manger, we must come realizing that it is our sin that brought him there. It's our sin that brought him into our world. His love for us, that hope, that plan that Ms. Reynolds so rightly said, we must trust in, and we must confess our sin to God and to one another and trust God's forgiveness. But not only confess, but to likewise turn from our sin and follow Jesus. So when we come to the memory of the manger, we ought to remember that Jesus' coming was in response to our sin, in response to exile, in response to, as the fulfillment of God's promises to bear the consequences of our sin himself. Remember the walking in the blood. So he says to saints, repent and follow me. The very next thing he does in Matthew 4, while walking by the sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Remember the goal of discipleship. Juniors, seniors, if you had my class, we talked about this much. Was to actually, remember, they had to follow him, not just believe in him, but they had to follow him because his goal for them was for them to be like him. His disciples' mission, our mission as believers in Jesus is clear from how he taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, God born as a human being, came to bring the reality of heaven to earth through you and me. But the only way this can happen is if we get serious about actually following him. Unfortunately, that's often the last thing Christmas is about. It's often about embracing selfishness. Punching people at Walmart on Black Friday to get your Tickle Me Elmo. It's about Cyber Monday deals and a fat man riding a flying reindeer. Jesus' birth matters because his life is our example of how to live the good life. And look, when he ascends to heaven after his death, after his resurrection, that's not the end of Emmanuel, is it? It's not the end of Emmanuel. No. 10 days later, there's the disciples. They're at the temple. It's Pentecost. They're worshiping together. And suddenly, the whole temple is filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the Spirit of God leaves his temple and enters into his people. So that in Christ, now those who believe, those who have repented, all y'all are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Emmanuel exists. It's still true today because God has put his Spirit in us. So if the world is to know God, if the world is to know the presence of God, it's to know it because of us. That when people encounter us, they encounter the Spirit of the living God. They encounter people who, by grace, through faith and the power of the Spirit, are like Jesus. Saints, look, we practice our sports 2-3 hours a day. We practice our art 2 hours, 3 hours, every day. Do we practice seeking Jesus? Jesus is calling us this Christmas to be to a much bigger vision of what life is supposed to be. A life rooted in repentance and faith. He wants us not simply to be good students. He's not particularly interested in whether we're wealthy or not, or whether or not we're great athletes, or whether we have a hot girlfriend or not, or no matter how many times we squat up and get kills. He's calling us into his kingdom. He's calling us to be his image bearers, to be citizens of his kingdom, and not just citizens, not just residents, but ambassadors, that the world would know that he is God because of us, not because of necessarily what we say, though that's important, but of who we are. And please forgive, students, please forgive us adults when we fail at this every day. But this is our call. This is why we exist. He wants us to pledge our allegiance to him, to seek to be like him through his word, to put his glory on display by repenting of our sins and seeking to follow him. This year, brothers and sisters, this year, instead of using Christmas as an opportunity to embrace selfishness, would you repent? When you see the Messiah in the manger, may it induce in your heart a desire to repent and to commit your life. To commit your life to this. To do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility to count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also, or in particular, to the interests of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but also in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine like stars, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run or labor in vain. Therefore, saints, the memory of the manger ought to lead us also to the memory of the cross. Jesus' birth was to rescue us from our sin, our exile, our detention, our suspension, our expulsion, and our probation. To rescue us from our violence and our nationalism and our compromise and our hiding and our pride. The Messiah in the manger is calling us to abandon our selfishness and our grumbling and to repent and follow him. And if we do, it will not only be a great gift to us, but to all who know us. So will we? Let's pray. Worship team, would you come up? Father God, we are deeply broken. We are sinful, proud, and arrogant. God, help. We put our hope in things in which we find no hope. We put our trust in things that will not deliver. We put our trust in ourselves, or we despair in ourselves. We put our trust in our circumstances, or we despair in our circumstances. And yet, Father, by your Spirit, you are here with us. And while we may experience moments of despair, moments of mourning, moments of exile, you have come and are coming. And so, Father, may we hope this Christmas that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and King. So, God, in that day, may we be found faithful. God, we love you. In Jesus' name.